Lakers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
It's been a long time coming to hear that. We are back for year number two of the AC All Access show. We are live from Fickers in Adrian. Same place, different day and time. We're going to do this show Monday nights, 7 until 8 right in Fickers. And, of course, the support of the Adrian College Athletics Programs. Scott Mitchell back in our KV studios tonight. I'm Ian Wentz. I'll be your host, your tour guide into Adrian College. Up for you all today, we will have the men's soccer coach. That's Charlie Miles. We'll have David Kwan, the head coach of the volleyball team. We're going to kick off the show with the team that kicks off the football team, the 24th head coach in the program's history at Adrian College, entering his first season. Joe Palka joins us on the show. Coach, thanks for spending 30 minutes with us in the most valuable time leading up to the season. It's good to see you, and I guess we're just going to start in. How are things going over at Docking Stadium?
Yeah, well, hopefully my voice holds up for this 30 minutes that time of year in camp, but you know, we're pleased with the effort that we're seeing. We've got a big roster. You know, guys are figuring a lot of things out. They're doing what we're asking them to do. You know, we had a scrimmage on Saturday, and, you know, everything's been a learning curve, you know, really for all of us, the staff all being together for the first time and, you know, a full team in that situation. But I'm really happy with the effort. I'm really happy with how our team has come together. And, you know, I'm just excited. We're all excited just to get going when they start keeping score and see where we're at.
A fresh team and a new team. And speaking of fresh, I scrolled through the roster. A lot of freshmen,
yeah.
Coach, a lot of freshmen. You and your staff were busy this summer recruiting kids, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, we ended up, I can't remember what we had. We have like, I want to say it was like 112. You know, 115 in terms of freshman football players.
Wow.
And, you know, that you add our 65-plus, I think our, you know, we had a few kids that have fallen out, obviously, a couple upperclassmen and a couple of the young kids. But by and large, I think we really only lost to this point 9 guys out of that whole freshman class. So we're really happy with how we're retaining. And it's a big roster, though. I mean, there's 68 guys out there right now on that roster. So managing that, making sure they all get reps, making sure they're all developing, that's our biggest challenge that we have right now.
And just talent evaluation, right? You can't lean on experience from a freshman at the college level. So you guys need to figure that out. And, you know, you had some spring camp, you had some stuff in the summer, but you know, kickoff is a couple of weeks away, and at some point you have to put together a depth chart.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, this week we're starting to do that a little bit more seriously because you've got now 10 days in and or 11 days in. We had a scrimmage. We saw what some of the guys can do. You know, I'm a full believer in, you know, you're not going to win a championship if you have to play all freshmen. So I told the returners from last year, although there's not a lot of them, and a lot of them are young, the bulk
right.
of that class we're all freshmen last year, and I just said that we're going to go the way that this group goes, and we're going to supplement it with, what turned out to be a great recruiting class with this year's freshmen. But we are going to be extremely young. Now, I think we're going to be competitive, and I think we may hopefully surprise a few people, but no matter how you slice it, we're going to be young at all positions.
Looking online, AdrianBulldogs.com, I counted 16 coaches, including yourself on the staff. That's a pretty hefty number. You don't need to go through every one, but we know you have some family on the coaching staff. You have some returners, some names look familiar, and how's that worked out so far?
Yeah, it's worked out well. I mean, it's, you know, really we've got a mix of guys, and, you know, we've got our full-time guys, and then we've got, you know, the intern positions, which are kind of those entry-level spots, and that's the bulk of the guys that are here every day. So there's really 8 guys in the office every day grinding it out and getting all the operations done. Relied on some experience and some other guys to come in and help us. 2 guys from Saline that have been with me for 6 to 12 years. You know, a couple of them still teach. A couple of them are retired. You know, we've got some retired guys that were on the staff last year. Steve Wilwall, you know, for example, a Bulldog, former Bulldog player that helped last year is helping again. We held a Luckman as a full-time guy. He's done a great job. And you know, there's other guys that help him win 10. And yeah, Seattle Brian, who's a time friend and a coach of Adrian Aid, has been able to be over. So, you know, we're trying to put together a number of guys with experience, a number of fresh guys that are go-getters. And, you know, I think it's important to have a blend of all different types of coaches on the staff. And honestly, with the roster that big, you're not going to be able to do it with eight guys. So, you know, we were looking for as much support and help as we could get, because that's the only way you're going to develop those players.
Talking with Adrian College head football coach Joe Palka, came over from Saline. You've been there since 2012, but you do have coaching experience at the college level, some capacity over at Eastern. How is this? This is obviously different than Division One, but now you're the head coach. Could you maybe talk about that experience at Eastern and what it is now at Adrian?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that. There's a lot of things I did even the past 18 years as a high school coach that I took out of that experience at Eastern Michigan. And you know, the recruiting aspect is different, but in terms of the day-to-day functionality, how you run practice, how you run drill, how you know, do everything with, you know, we've kept a lot of that. And so I think that you know, a lot of the things that we did at Eastern Michigan, we're doing right now. And you know, I think it was a good model. And, you know, seeing some results from that, I think, and drawing on that is quite a bit. And even when I was younger than that, I coached at St. Louis in Indiana, which was probably similar because we were at the Division II level and had a large roster. So all those experiences are helping right now for sure.
When you... I like, and I don't know if it's always feasible, if a college can take care of their backyard in recruiting, you know, get the players that are Division III players or NAIA, whatever level you're at, get those players to go to the local school if it makes sense for the school and the student, you know. Selfishly, I don't like looking at Albion's roster and seeing a kid from Lenawee County.
Right.
You know, oh, that's a Division III player that went to a rival school. I've looked through your roster, and there's quite a few local student-athletes on that list.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge priority for us. When I first took the job and I went to the Lenawee County Coaches Banquet, you know, I talked to everybody there that night, and I think we've done a good job so far of following through on that. We've been there in the wintertime. We've been to all the high schools in the spring, and it's a recruiting priority for us. You know, we're all going to be involved in their recruiting. The recruiting of those schools, like for example, when we watch Friday night games, we're going to be at those places. That's right. The priority. So, you know, we've got some guys that right now are, you know, in this freshman class that are probably going to contribute this year. You know, we've got an Onstead receiver that, you know, is high in the depth chart. You know, Sean Parker from Adrian High is having a great camp. You know, Tristan Hayes. I mean, I can go on and on, but the local kids have not disappointed, and it's always going to be a huge priority as long as I'm the head coach here.
Coach Joe Palka joining us on the ACL Access Show, live from Frickers in Adrian. Their Monday special, the Boneless Wings. Got to come check them out. They have during-the-week specials for lunch. Come by 11 to 2 and get a very good special. You'll find me here a couple days a week enjoying some lunch. Coach, do you feel yourself more as a offensive guy or a defensive guy or head coach? How do you go about that?
Yeah, funny. I mean, not really taking the role of head coach, you know, as kind of the number one job. So, you know, like when we have all of our position meetings, I bounce into every meeting. You know, I want to see what our O-line's doing. I want to see what our offensive skill guys are doing. You know, in the defensive meeting. And, one of the special teams, and I'm involved in every special team. So,
okay.
You know, I'm doing all that. I think that I grew up as a defensive guy. I played defense. I coached defense at Eastern. So I have a good understanding of it. The last 18 years, I've definitely been more offensive. So I'm a little more involved in what our scheme is on offense. So that's just kind of naturally where I gravitate to. But I have full confidence in the guys that are coaching, you know, all the positions, and it's really been fun to kind of coach the coaches and watch those guys operate. And like I said, you know, it's really been a little different. I didn't know how I was going to react when I got here. I thought, you know, was I going to be in the offense the whole time? But it's been nice because I've been able to hit all those different things and really be the head coach.
Again, Joe Paul joining us on the ACL Access Show. I mean, we're a couple weeks away from the first game of the season. But in the summer, it looked like you guys were busy checking in on social media. You've had a busy summer off the field with alumni and things like that. Could you talk to us a little bit about what you've done?
Yeah, we're really excited about the things happening around the program. You know, first of all, I take full credit for any of those things. A number of our, you know, former head coaches, alumni, put together a committee called the Bulldog Alumni Football Club. Ron Labadie has had a big part, John Krimmel, Aaron Klotz, you know, people at the college have helped us as well. And, you know, over the past 6 months, you know, put a lot of offers out, and we kids on campus, and we would conclude every camp by, you know, showing them around and really turn it into a campus visit. So we have a database right now of, frankly, 400 or 500 kids that have already been on campus who we're in kind of communication with. So we got a jump on recruiting by that this summer. So this was our...
All right, with that, we are back inside the cave here. It's the ACL Access Show. Had to pull an audible. Same wonderful guest, Joe Palka, the head coach of the Adrian College football team. I'm Ian Wentz. We're here at Frickers in Adrian. We just finished talking about, you know, the Bulldog football community at large and the stuff Coach has done this fall, or this summer, I should say. We're in crunch time, right? I mean, kickoff is September 7th. You're going to be at home taking on Elmhurst University. I have tough memories from that game last year when they beat Adrian. It was their Super Bowl that season. And I know the Bulldog community is looking for a little get back in that week one. That's all the focus right now, isn't it? Week one, and then you'll take it week at a time.
Yeah, honestly, it's, you know, for us, it's all about just really trying to get better. And, you know, that means every day get a little bit better than for the previous day. And so we had a scrimmage on Saturday, and, you know, we just wanted to be better today than we were then. So we're focused on Elmhurst. I mean, you know, we have a scouting report based on last year. Those things will come in a little bit later in the week. But right now, it's just all about really us and continuing to get better. And that's going to be our approach all season. Obviously, when we get closer to that week, we know what happened last year, and we'll be out to make sure that gets corrected. But in the meantime, you know, we don't want to play the game too soon. We still got a little bit of time that we just continue to need to get better.
I saw this last year, the general theme, young football team. And I think that's kind of where this Bulldog team is trending. We had to put a couple of freshmen out there, quarterback. I don't want you to give away a depth chart unless you don't mind doing it. What does that look like? It from what I read, you have 5 or 6 guys on the roster, quarterback. What are we looking at in that position? It was good for me to see Raymond and Mark Lopez on the team again this year, because they took a beating. So I think it's nice that you're at least giving them a shot to try to win that job again. But people like football and they like quarterbacks. Let's talk about the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, that's the number one question I get asked all the time. So, well, first of all, we have a great quarterback room. I mean, we honestly, this is an incredible stat. We started camp, I think, with 18 quarterbacks.
Whoa.
And, you know, so they've all repped, and, you know, they've all gotten different roles, and, you know, they're all hanging in there and doing a great job, and they're all going to develop. Now, not everybody is end up playing quarterback the whole time. So the way it kind of shakes out right now is we have 2 older kids, you know, Noah Heide, who played here a few years ago, and he's a grad transfer, Jake Kelbert, who's a grad transfer from Northwood, has done a great job competing. Mark is in the hunt, you know, and he, along with Taj Williams and Brady, have all been in the mix, and we've repped them all. Now, what we've done with Brady, I'm not giving anything away here, but we've played him at some other positions, and he looks good doing that. So we're excited about that group. They remain healthy, knock on wood. They've all been productive. And then, as I mentioned to Coach Rainey before I started the show, you know, a couple of our young guys are not disappointed either. You know, so you'll recognize a name in Sean Parker, and, you know, Sebastian Boswell is not a name you recognize yet. But, you know, there's a great group of quarterbacks in a room that, frankly, is probably 7 deep. So the hard thing is we're going to have to tell some people no coming up with him the next week.
with the numbers, I assume a JV program is in the mix. Are you practicing as a full team now, and then you'll split up JVs?
Yeah,
or whatever you call it. Yeah. I know people call it development or whatever.
That's a great question. I was really happy with what we did the first 9 days. We practiced everybody together, but we brought them in shifts. So we divided into a black and a gold squad, and the black squad came in early, got all their team reps in, got coached by our full staff. Then the gold squad came in, which was more of our veteran group. They all went through individual and the bulk of the practice together. And then at the end, the gold stayed and got their team. So it wasn't, you know, two completely divided practices. I think that really worked out well. We're at a point now where we're all in the same practice, but what we're doing is dividing in the two groups as much as possible. In team, we've got a black and a gold still. 7-on-7, a black and a gold still. So guys are still getting developed, but, you know, we're you know, starting to definitely separate them. And the JV part of it is a big deal. We'll have, you know, we've got 6 or 7 games scheduled on a JV schedule. For us, it's all about reps. It's all about development. You're not going to get any better unless you're repping. So it's our job to, through practice and those JV games, make sure those kids continue to know that they're important and develop as football players.
Talking Bulldog football with Coach Joe Palka here on the ACL Access Show. Adrian has 6 home games this season. Typically, you get 5-5, so this year is kind of special. You've sold, I think, the Adrian community, the Saline community, Adrian College community. What's the draw going to be to get Adrian to come to Docking Stadium and enjoy some football? What do you think is going to separate, you know, maybe perceptions of local college athletics and what you're offering?
Yeah, well, I think that's really twofold. I think that is you have identifiable local players. That's going to be a draw in itself. Kids that are local that are on your team, that are valuable team members, that helps. The other thing is that the community needs to get to know our football players. And one of the things that we try to do is have a great perception of what an Adrian College football player is. We want our guys to represent us well on campus and well in the community. So I think those are important aspects. When you start to know some of the local players and you start to care about them, then you're going to be more inclined to go to a game. And then the third and final part of that is, let's be honest. I mean, you have to put a good product on the field. You have to be entertaining. You have to win. You know, those things are all important. I mean, people want to come out, and it's going to be special to the community if Adrian College football is having success. And we know that. How soon that happens, I mean, we all want it. You know, probably sooner than we're going to get it in some way. But that's the end all goal. And I think if you put those three things together, then I think you get a great game day atmosphere, a lot of people caring, and it becomes a big deal for everybody. And that's the goal.
Back in my time on campus, 2012 conference championship, 2014 conference championship, Docking Stadium was rocking. Adrian had an incredibly good defense. We didn't score a lot of points. Scored just enough, but played a great defense. What's your philosophy? Are you more of a shut it down and grind out some points, or let's open things up and light up the scoreboard?
Well, two thoughts on that. Number one,
you want it to be both.
Yeah, well,
you want points allowed and score a bunch.
You're not going to win a championship unless you play good defense. I mean, in college football now, it is hard to outscore everybody. It's just, I don't think it's realistic. So you got to have great defense. That's got to be the number one priority. Now, that being said, I've never been a guy that just is, we're going to play to the defense. I mean, we're going to try to go fast, and we're going to try to score points. And that will put some stress on our defense. You know, I understand that. But I also, you know, won't let too much out. But I think you know, if we're veteran anywhere, we're veteran up front on defense. And I think that'll be a fun group to watch. So, you know, even judging from the scrimmage, I thought we were really competitive on defense. So that group's going to keep us in games. That group probably is going to close things out and win games for us. But we're going to have to hold up our end of the bargain offensively too. You know, you need to be a balanced football team, in my opinion, anymore. You need to have the ability to score. But, you know, it's age-old, you know, tales old as time. You know, the teams with great defense win the championships.
More specifically last year, and then maybe in years past, Adrian would be in the mix for about 3 quarters or so, and the wheels would fall off. And I don't know if it was an attrition thing where it just ran out of gas, or I don't know what it was. How are you going to get this group to play a 4-quarter football game, you know, and being freshmen? Like, college football is a lot different than high school football. how are you going to address that with your training and nutrition?
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, we see that in kind of everything that we do every day. And those are all things that we address every day. And it's kind of like, kind of called getting over the hump, right? And kids recognize that from last year. We've had that conversation a lot in terms of in games, and then all of a sudden come out in the second half or whatever it may have been. They tell me that, you know, those are things we don't even really ask for. And when we talk about what do we need to do different, those are all things I hear. What I've told guys is you just have to fight to get better every day. Like I told you on the show.
Field offers a price protection guarantee.
At the end of the day, there's got to be a point in the season when you're gonna win a game you're not supposed to win. And when that happens, that's when everything turns around. And I just, you know, I've done this for a long time. I just know how it goes. And until you hit that point, you really haven't turned the corner. When you hit that point, then you have a great opportunity to turn the corner. And I tell the kids that, you know, once you learn how to win, it's tough to lose. You almost forget how to lose once you just know how to win. And we're not there yet. I mean, it's going to take some work. And, you know, hopefully, like I said, you know, sooner than later. But at some point, you got to come from behind. You have to hang on. You have to be able to do something special that turns into that signature win. And, you know, it's going to happen. Just don't know when it's going to happen. But when that happens, that's when it turns around, in my opinion.
I want to go back a little bit, Coach. From what I've heard, I haven't seen it in person. Facilities, since you moved in, there have been some changes just to the program in general. Kind of to, let's sell some seniors out there for some Bulldog football next year. What changes have been made in the Marilad or at the facility?
I can't take much credit for any of it, you know, to be honest with you. You know, in the, first of all, our offices have all been redone. You know, I credit Coach Rainey and the athletic department and university in general for supporting us. If you walk in there right now, it's an impressive venue. I mean, we have a wrap with it that really pays tribute to all of our former teams. You know, Docking Stadium is a big mural. You know, we have great pictures of players, you know, and you know, we all have the latest technology. You know, we all have laptops. You know, we have new furniture in that office. It's a great area to recruit to. So that alone was a big deal. You know, we're looking to continue to improve the locker room. That's part of our fundraising effort that, you know, that we want to push forward with. And then the big thing is, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, that indoor that's being built and, the practice fields and the rugby field that's across the street, those things matter. You know, and when recruits come on campus and they're able to drive out there and you're able to point to that, you know, that's a big deal. So it's a special time. I mean, it really is a special – I lucked into it. It's a special time to be at Adrian College right now with all the things that are happening. And honestly, I think the more that you put into it, the more you get back. And I think if people see that, you know, what we do as a staff and what we do as a program, people care, and we're going to work hard, we're going to do the right things, the more willing people are to say, listen, we can get behind that. And those are all lessons we're trying to teach our players right now too. So, yeah, there's a lot of great things going on facility-wise, and I really credit the people around me. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm just lucked into the situation. So.
Well, September 7th, kicking off the season at home with Elmhurst University. You get to stay home September 14th and play Madonna, a night game at Docking Stadium. Flip on the lights. That'll be very cool. You've probably been thinking about September 7th for a while. We're not going to have a show next week. So, like, for you to – you talked glowingly about the school when you got hired. Can you maybe take us to Friday night or Saturday morning next week when you're getting ready to take the field as the head coach?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you ask that. You know, I think that everybody – you always think, well, what's it going to be like and all that. And honestly, you know, we went against St. Francis of Indiana in the scrimmage on Saturday. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I know that they have great talent and – what was going to happen. But I honestly just walked out, and to us, it was just another game. You know, it was just, we're going to do what we do. And,
right.
You know, I've done this long enough that it doesn't matter whether I'm on a high school field or whether I'm on, you know, in Docking Stadium. You know, when the function of the game hits, we're going to do what we do and follow that model. Not Friday night, you know, just like last week, I'm sure I won't sleep, and I'm sure I'll have, you know, the butterflies. And, you know, and I'm a guy that's a pleaser. You know, I want to make sure that, hey, that we put a good product on the field, that we make Adrian College proud. I mean, all those things go through my mind. You know, what's Craig Rainey think? You know, what's President Docking think? You know, it's like, hey, we want to try to do the right thing and like I said, put a good product on the field because I care. And our our staff cares, you know. So I think that's just the kind of the mantra that I've always had. I put a lot of pressure on myself, put a lot of pressure on our staff to make sure that we produce. But at the end of the day, when the whistle blows and kick that first ball off, I'm going to do what I've done for 30 years. So,
well, Coach, I appreciate your time. 7:30, right on the dot.
All right.
Coach Joe Palka, the 24th head coach in the history of Adrian College football. We'll try to connect before the kickoff on September 7th. But until I talk to you again, take care and good luck this season.
Yeah, thanks. Always great talking to you. I'm pretty accessible game day, so don't think I'm going to bite your head off or anything.
All right,
to me early, so.
We won't be strangers, Coach.
All right, that sounds
great. Letting you work this summer. We'll be bugging you more this fall.
All right. Well, thanks again. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk some women's volleyball with David Kwan, head coach of the Bulldogs. We'll be right back after this. It's the ATL Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Broadcasting live from the heart of Lenawee County, Sports Talk Radio with a local angle on Inside the Cave, weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m. on 96.5 FM and 965thecave.com. We give opinions and analysis on what's happening in the world of sports, interview local coaches and players, and help you start your day. Grab a flashlight and a compass to go inside the cave, weekday mornings 7 to 9 on 96.5 FM and 965thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
As the school year begins, Adrian College invites you to enjoy Bulldog volleyball, football, tennis, soccer, golf, and more. All athletic events are open to the public.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Lenawee TV will begin the high school football season in Tecumseh, where the Indians will host Jackson Northwest at 7 p.m. Thursday night. After a 5-5 record in 2023 and a playoff berth, Tecumseh is looking to clinch their third consecutive playoff appearance. Tecumseh has not achieved that since the 2012, 13, and 14 seasons. The Thursday night broadcast is brought to you by DNP Communications, County National Bank, Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Martin's Home Center, McDonald's and Adrian and Hudson, Anderson Mary Family of Funeral Homes, Dynamic Industrial Supply, Lightning Quick, Shoemaker Heating and Plumbing, O'Connor and Sons Floor Covering, Planet Fitness of Adrian, D.S. Johnson and Associates, Adrian Dry Cleaners, and Matthew Eichhorn with the Taylor Agency. Join Jeff Bowman and Fred Smith for Tecumseh versus Jackson Northwest in high school football action at 7 p.m. only on Lenawee TV.
And Adrian right here on Main Street. Weekday specials, lunch specials, drink specials. It's a special time at Frickers in Adrian. It's the ACL Access Show. First one of the year, the 2024 fall kickoff here. We're going to talk some volleyball on the women's side. We welcome back to the program David Kwan, his 13th season at Adrian College, but his 21st season coaching. Well, thanks for coming on. This is busy time of the year for you, I'm sure.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Ian. Yeah, it is definitely pretty busy. We just kind of finished our preseason camp this Saturday and, had a scrimmage against Wayne State, Saginaw Valley, and Kalamazoo or Kellogg Community College. So, you know, played some couple of pretty good D2 programs on Saturday and did pretty well. So,
well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to scrimmage up if you can.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, up a level, maybe not up talent, but, you know, they see Wayne State, it's like, whoa, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And you know, for the bulk of our returners is pretty good scrimmage. You know, we did, you know, throw some freshmen in there, and, you know, it's always a, you know, kind of thrown into the fire situation when you're, you know, hitting against bigger girls in a bigger block, and the speed's pretty quick and stuff. So, yeah, it was pretty good. We were pretty happy with the results.
You mentioned throwing some freshmen in there. You did mention your returners. Could you kind of break down the roster makeup for the Bulldogs?
Yeah, so, you know, we're happy to return four really great seniors. Two of them are, you know, our fifth-year seniors in Lana Cox, who's a defensive specialist for us, plays middle back, and has a great serve. She's coming back as a fifth year. And Amber Morris, who's our starting outside hitter, you know, was an all-conference player for us 2 years ago. And, you know, she came back for a grad program, and happy to kind of get her back. And then we're also returning Maya Menjarez, our defensive player of the year, two-time defensive player of the year. So, you know, three really great players. And then our fourth is Emma Thackeray, who's, again, a serving specialist and plays a couple of different roles. She's finishing off her senior year as well.
Those first three, I called one of your games.
Yeah.
On the radio, volleyball on the radio. I did the best I could. I said those three names a lot.
Yeah.
They're very involved.
Yep. Yep.
So how much coaching is there left for you to do? Must be a pretty easy time, huh?
Well, you know, there's always turnover, and there's always things to get better at. You know, we did lose a four-time starter all-conference setter last year in Haley Farrell. So this year's been definitely, and this spring's been definitely a kind of a growth year for us to try to somehow replace a four-year starter that's been, you know, running my offense for 4 years. So, you know, that's definitely been a challenge. And you know, the likes of Megan Reckling and Kendall Sullivan are sharing those duties this year to try to grow into that role. And they're doing a pretty good job so far.
In your practice time,
yeah,
you mentioned rotating the setters, the outside hitters. You can rotate. Could you talk about the depth behind those positions? I remember Morris getting quite a bit of action when I called that the last contest.
Yeah, yeah. She's a staple of our offense. You know, she plays all the way around. Doesn't really come off the floor that much, and you know, she was our big, you know, 2 years ago, our big Division I transfer. So that's, you know, part of the reason why, you know, she's as sturdy as an ox, right? Like, she
right.
doesn't really get hurt. She doesn't really get injured. She, you know, deals through all the aches and pains of a season and is used to, you know, high volume, high level volleyball coming from Youngstown State. And, yeah, like, you know, you'll hear her name a lot this year. And, you know, I think that going across there, across from her, we're trying to kind of work in Gia Rowan, who's really a sophomore, kind of coming into her own this year. Worked really hard over the spring and the summer, and just had a great scrimmage against Wayne State. And you know, we think that she'll be a definitely a starter for us across Amber this year.
In volleyball, there's no obligation to rotate or substitute. Based on what you've told me,
yeah,
you might not have to do a lot of that this year. Or do you? Could you talk to me about that from the coaching side?
Yeah.
I would just say leave everyone out there, and you actually coach the sport. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have a, you know, a Division III roster, right? So that kind of means that everyone's job is up for grabs, right? So, you know, we recruit specifically to make sure that everyone's motivated and everyone's playing at the highest level every single game and every single practice. So, you know, we do rotate kids in when we need to and to give kids other opportunities. But, you know, more importantly, You know, we brought in a decent freshman recruiting class. One of them is Ava Aker. She's a middle that we recruited, and she's, nice, big, tall kid that we're hoping can do great things for us in the middle this year as a freshman.
Looking at, sometimes you care, sometimes you don't. Preseason projections, the MIAA. You're projected to finish fourth. Without the list in front of me, I'm going to guess most of those schools, Coach, reside on the western side of the state. Would I be mistaken, or is that pretty accurate?
Well, out of those three, Calvin and Hope do, right? Calvin and Hope are the top 25 dogs of the conference, and they're always the ones that have a target on their back, and Hope being national runners up next year will all return a lot of their roster. Calvin is hungry to get back to the top two, if not number one in the conference. And then Albion, who's a little bit closer to us, always runs a great program, and they were, they were the Cinderella story last year. They did upset Calvin, in the conference tournament. So, they're returning a lot of their roster as well. So, all three of them we're looking to compete against this year, and number five in Trine and number six in St. Mary's are always looking to get better as well. So, we're not looking past any of these teams this year.
And you mentioned the experience that the other three were bringing. We just spent 10 minutes talking about our experience.
Yeah.
And, the seniors on this year's team have experienced the hopes of the MIAA for 3 years.
Yeah.
And they know what it takes. They've been there. Mm-hmm. They've probably been battling a few of those seasons, and it's about getting over that hump, right, Coach? To get over that hump and say, hey, this is as much our conference as theirs.
Yeah.
We're right there and we can take it.
Yeah. That's the battle every year, right? Is what can we tweak differently? What can we teach differently? What can we scheme differently against other teams? We're really excited about the leadership group that we chose this year, and we're hoping to have, obviously to be top four, but to do something different than last year, and kind of bust into the top three. And we're hoping for great things with this group. Like you said, that they're mature enough to do it. We're still in this window of really talented, high experience group, at least for another year. And we're hoping for big things from this group for sure.
Talking women's volleyball with their head coach, David Kwan, with your experience you have, and you talked about your talented freshmen, do you have a JV/developmental squad, or is it just the varsity?
No, we have a developmental squad. A lot of those, we kind of break our team into three groups. We have a varsity only squad who, doesn't play any JV, and then we have a bunch of bubble kids that are going to be playing both and are going to be contributing for both. And then we have a JV squad for sure. Okay. That JV squad is actually, made up of mostly freshmen and sophomores. And like I said, the last two classes are young, but they're pretty talented, So, players like Lily Sipola, who's going to be a libero, a freshman libero brought in, is really talented. Cora Nicolanti, she's an outside hitter we're really excited about as well. And then I did already mention Ava Aker, possibly breaking into the starting lineup in the middle. We're really excited as well. We got some pretty good JV freshman kids coming up here for sure.
All right. Season just about underway. You're going to hit the road Friday and Saturday this weekend, four-team tournament hosted by Illinois College. Could you preview that for Bulldog fans?
Yeah, we're always looking for a tough out-of-conference schedule. you know, the teams like Illinois College and Wisconsin Lacrosse definitely provide that. You know, it is a, you know, nice long 7-hour bus ride for us, but, you know, to play good competition in the Midwest, you kind of have to commit to again going to those tournaments. So, you know, we're excited to go down there and see what we can do out of conference, maybe even, you know, upset a couple of regionally ranked teams and, you know, prepare us for the tough teams that we're going to be facing in conference for sure.
And then home matches are kind of hard to come by sometimes.
Yeah,
You finally get to open things up at home about a month from now, September 20th. That's a Friday, 7 o'clock. Just working toward that home opener, right? Getting the students out, getting the fans out to watch the team.
Yep, we're excited to play at home. You know, we love our facility. We love our home fans for sure. They've definitely, over the last couple of years, during this really competitive window that we've kind of built and grew, have come out en masse. You know, our last home game, which was against Trine Thunder in the quarterfinal match last year, was an absolute packed house. And we loved having our fans there cheering us on and making a lot of noise. And we're hoping for the same this year.
All right, fantastic. Well, Coach, I kept you a minute or so late, so you know you can do a shorter interview next time. We appreciate you coming on and kicking off the ACL Access Show today.
Hey, thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was David Kwan, the head coach of the women's volleyball team over at Adrian College. We're going to step aside, call an audible. We're bringing in the big guns. Tell you about it next. The ACL Access Show, live from Frickers in Adrian, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Siena Heights University will open their season this Thursday at 7 p.m. when the Saints host Taylor University. Siena Heights football is sponsored by Lenawee Community Mental Health Authority, Siena Heights University, Dynamic Industrial Supply, D.S. Johnson & Associates, and Adrian Dry Cleaners. Jeremy Otto is on the call Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Siena Heights University football versus Taylor University on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
As the school year begins, Adrian College invites you to enjoy Bulldog volleyball, football, tennis, soccer, golf, and more. All athletic events are open to the public.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit adrianbulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Lenawee TV will begin the high school football season in Tecumseh, where the Indians will host Jackson Northwest at 7 p.m. Thursday night. After a 5-5 record in 2023 and a playoff berth, Tecumseh is looking to clinch their third consecutive playoff appearance. Tecumseh has not achieved that since the 2012, 13, and 14 seasons. The Thursday night broadcast is brought to you by Dynamic Industrial Supply, Lightning Quick, Shoemaker Heating and Plumbing, O'Connor and Sons Floor Covering, Planet Fitness of Adrian, D.S. Johnson & Associates, Adrian Dry Cleaners, Matthew Eichhorn with the Taylor Agency, Three Dimensional Physical Therapy, Adrian Tecumseh Fence, TLC Community Credit Union, Baldi's Furniture and Mattress, and Chip Moore with the Adrian Insurance Agency. Join Jeff Bowman and Fred Smith for Tecumseh versus Jackson Northwest in high school football action at 7 p.m. only on Lenawee TV.
The ACL Access Show at Frickers in Adrian. I'm Ian Wendt. We have the coach, Charlie Miles, stand-in. It's the athletic director and head baseball coach at Adrian College, Craig Rainey, joining me. What a surprise. Aren't you glad you showed up to the show?
Yeah, I'm always glad I show up. I get to listen to you, Ian, and learn some things about AC sports.
That's what it's all about. And having a good time at Frickers. It's nice to be out in the community. And this day and time, I think, worked perfect for what you guys wanted to do and maybe get some students out here and, you know, little nighttime activity.
Yeah, we're excited we got to move into this time. I think it's just a little bit better for our coaches and also, you know, just to get people out and enjoy the radio show. Hopefully we can continue to build on this and get some people to come out and support, especially once we get the athletes on here. And I know we did mainly coaches this week, but as we get into the season and get some of the athletes, hopefully they'll bring out some of their friends and we'll turn it into a fun little show for you.
A little bulldog party. Yeah, it's Frickers and Adrian. Okay. We were going to talk soccer, but now we're going to talk facilities. We did a little bit with Coach Palka with football, with the things that they're doing over at the Merrill Adams at Dockin Stadium. But to drive down the road from Dockin Stadium, there's a new facility going up pretty quickly, Coach. Could you talk about the status of the Dome and what that's going to be? And we're closer than I thought you would be, to be honest.
Yeah, it's exciting. I go out there about daily, check in. The progress is unbelievable. I mean, every day, like, I go out there, it just seems to be getting closer and closer, which is exciting. But just, I mean, going out there now that they got a lot of the foundation work in, the lobby is getting bricked up, the lobby entrance area, but just to get in the middle of that now, and see like the magnitude of it and how big it is and things. It's going to be very spacious. It'll have a full football field inside of it, 4-lane track around the football field, some areas on the end that'll, you know, give us some room to do some other things. But like when they first started moving dirt and getting it laid out, I was like, yeah, it's pretty big. It's pretty cool. And then the foundations went in and I'm like, whoa, This is off the charts. Like, this is something special. And I mean, what it'll do for our athletic program is, you know, yet to be seen. But I'm just telling you, if I was an 18-year-old, 19-year-old looking for a school, and I walked on campus and saw Docking Stadium and then went over and saw the Dome, like, I'd be like, this might be a place for me.
I mean, you could, if the weather's good, throw another practice. If the weather's bad, you have an opportunity. Now baseball's spoiled, right? You have the indoor facilities, and yeah, that's great, but this adds another element to that, right? It's mainly going to be practice, right? It's not necessarily a performance facility.
Yeah, it's going to be mainly practice, but it does help us with scheduling because if, you know, one of our league schools comes 2 or 3 hours to play a soccer game or a lacrosse game or a rugby game, and we get lightning, you know, in the fall or the spring, and we always have to shut those down and, you know, go into a lightning delay, we can just take those games, move them right into the Dome, and we can go and things. So there won't be, you know, we won't have to worry about, you know, thunderstorms. We won't have to worry about when lacrosse starts in the spring about, like, how are we going to get a foot of snow off the field? They got, you know, they got a game in 7 days. Like, we can just be like, yeah, we'll go in the Dome and play. Like, football won't be able to play in there because I'm sure our punters and some of our kickers will be able to kick balls off the roof. But,
right,
like, soccer, rugby, lacrosse, like, I could see them playing games in there.
So it will be a somewhat performance facility.
Yeah, I think
okay,
we'll be able to do some of that stuff in there. We won't use it. It won't be our primary. Like, we'll be in Docking Stadium as much as we can be. But it just gives us that kind of insurance plan that, you know, if the weather turns on us, we got a place to go.
Where are we at timeline wise with that? Do you think we could be inflated by the winter, or do we have an update on that?
No, I don't think that'll happen. I think it'll be early spring. Just a lot of work. The mechanical, the electrical is a little bit out yet. So, I mean, probably we'll get to a point here where things will slow down a little bit when the weather turns, you know, poor, and then we'll get it ramped back up in March or April, And I would say, you know, done, hopefully, you know, May or June, like in it, be able to use it.
Is parking going to be a little more premium over there? I know baseball and softball can pack that area, and then you add a practice. Is there going to be enough parking? I'm sure you did a study about that, right?
Yeah, we did a study. But no, we've added parking, so there'll be some additional parking. We took out some of the hills that were over there and kind of pushed the dome so that we can get some more parking in there and things. So we got a plan, I think, for that. And I think even like for the baseball games, softball games and stuff, you'll see more availability and more parking options.
Coach, let's go across the street, down the road. Progress update on the rugby facility. I know that was all the rage a couple of years ago, and seems like you're ready to do a little bit more over there.
Yeah, but that actually moved really, really quick. So we talked about it with President Docking and just came to the conclusion that this is something that we needed to do really quickly. We lost three practice facilities when the dome went up, where rugby would practice and soccer and lacrosse, you know, in their non-traditional seasons, would get out there and do some practicing. And our schedule in Docking Stadium has really been compacted now with a lot more teams trying to get in there.
Right.
So we just decided it was time to do that. We'll probably do it in some phases, but the first phase will be to get the field in, irrigation in, and get it playable before the snow flies. And then
this year?
Yep, this year. So they're moving dirt, drainage tile, some of that's going in right now. And then we'll get it seeded or sod. I'm not sure which way we're going to go yet, depending on timelines. But we'll get that done. So it's got some time this fall to set and get ready. And then we're 100% hoping that we're on it this spring and ready to roll and start practicing on it. So
is the plan for that to be practice facility and the main rugby field, or where's rugby going to play? I guess I'm confused.
I'm sure rugby will play probably this spring in Docking Stadium.
I want to play on turf.
What's that?
I'd rather play on the grass.
That's why we're doing grass over
okay.
there. They want to play on grass.
Yeah.
We won't probably have the scoreboard yet and some of the stands in and things that we'll need to have competitions and games in there. But that is the plan, is to phase it in. And once we get the field in, then to get the scoreboard up and get some seating in. We're building the hill, so it'll be kind of a little bit like the baseball facility. You'll be able to bring some lawn chairs set up on the hill and enjoy the game and things. So we got some things in the works, but probably, honestly, it'll be tough without a scoreboard to play there this spring. But hopefully really soon. I mean,
so maybe one more season at Docking, and then –
yeah, then transition.
Might be in a good spot.
Then transition over there and start playing games over there. And then we'll be able to use it for soccer and lacrosse, you know, in the fall to have some practices if Docking Stadium's being used for games and things. So, or if somebody's playing on a natural grass field and they just want to go over there and practice on natural grass, they can do that.
All right. One athletic director question. This year versus last year, do you feel more prepared this year, even though you have all these projects?
The projects are actually exciting. That's the cool thing. To just see how Adrian College like keeps moving forward and how we're trying to give our athletes the best opportunities and the best facilities and the best, you know, chances to be successful. It's exciting and it's great. I mean, President Docking, our administration, just being bought in and like, you don't get that everywhere, and it's just exciting from the athletic director's, you know, chair to know that you can walk across, you know, for us, we can walk across the street to the you know, administrative side, and we get support, and we get, you know, like, I understand this, I get where you're coming with this, and you know,
right.
and things, so it's exciting, this rugby pitch, I mean, really took place in probably 3 weeks, and we were, you know, like, we got to do this, it's got to happen, and we made it happen, and so it's exciting.
All right. Exciting would be the good word. And look, I'm excited. The show is back. Like the new time, 7 to 8 Monday nights, talking with coaches and players from Adrian College. And what a pleasure we get to talk to the athletic director himself. Craig, thanks for your time, and I'll see you around.
Thanks, Ian. It was a long couple months without seeing you.
I know, right? All right, for Josh Mitchell back in our studio, for everyone here at Frickers, we appreciate their continued support of 96.5 The Cave and Adrian College Athletics. Our sales rep, Stacy Mitchell, Josiah, hanging out. We'll probably hear from him during the fall. Mike Prang for all the information. Sports-wise, it's always appreciated. That's going to do it for us here at Frickers in Adrian. This is the kickoff for the ACL Access Show. I'm Ian Wentz for 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of ACL Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers in Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at adrianbulldogs.com.
Broadcasting live from the heart of Lenawee County, Sports Talk Radio with a local angle on Inside the Cave, weekdays from 7 to 9.